All right, we'll start the Mishnah on Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph, and we'll get into some Pirkei Torah today. So the Mishnah says, Almano she'amra, yev shilas uzmi beit bali. A widow says that I do not want to leave my husband's house. Eina yorsha mecholim lomar la l'chil beit avich. They can't say, go back to your father's house, v'anu zaninotach, and we'll feed you over there. Ela zaninotach, they have to feed her, v'notin la madur l'fi kvodah. You have to give her an appropriate place for her to live. I mean, that she's the standard of living which she's become accustomed to, they have to maintain for her. Amra, if she says, I don't want to leave my father's house, the Yorshim can say to her, at itzlenu ishlach mizonot. If you are with us, then you get mizonot. At itzlenu inlach mizonot. Inlach mizonot. If you are not with us, then you can't have mizonot. Im haita to'enet mipnei shehi yalda. If the claim, the reason she wants to buy her father's house is because she's too young, the hein yiladim, and they're very young, and it was inappropriate for them to be together. Then she has the right to make such a claim, and she can go back to her father's house and eat with her at her father's house. We have the yosamim give her food in her father's house. All right, Tan Rabbanan. Mishtameshet b'madur k'derech shemishtameshet b'chayibala. She can use the house the way she did in the time of her husband, when her husband was still alive. B'avadim u'shvachot k'derech shemishtameshet b'chayibala. She can use the servants and the maidservants the way she did during her husband's lifetime. B'karim u'kistot k'derech shemishtameshet b'chayibala. With the pillows and the mattresses, or the comforters, same way she did when her husband was alive. B'klei kesef b'klei zav k'derech shemishtameshet b'chayibala. And with gold and silver kelim, same way she did during her husband's lifetime. Shekach katavla. That's the what's written in the ksuba. Va'at tehei yatav b'beiti umitzana minichsai koyimei magar armelotayach b'beiti. That you will stay in my house. You will say yatav b'beiti umitzana and get fed from my possessions all the time that you are a widow still in my house. So that's the ksuba, right? Ksuba enumerates as one of the obligations that the husband lays out for his wife, that he will support her or take care of her as long as she remains in his house. Tani Rav Yosef. Beveti velo bevikati. So we had this earlier. The Gemara says, how do we know that she gets to live in the house that, or the manner in which she's become accustomed? Because it says that you'll stay in my house, beveti velo bevikati, right? Vikti, which is a hut, right? So when it says my house, it literally means my house, not some, they can't push her off or stick her into some small little hut somewhere. Amar Rav Nachman, Yitomim shemachru mador amalea lo asu v'lo klum. Nachman says, Yitomim, who sell the living quarters of the widow, it can be reversed.
Rashi on v'lo bevikti, who says, Imaya mador shalo tsar lo kibela lav lo tziyat bana v'lo shiva. The other way around also, right? No, not just that they can't stick her into this. But if all he leaves over is a small dwelling, then she's not entitled to displace the Yorshim there.
Right. We said actually, right, very good. So that's what the last time we had this, when they were doing the limud back then, was when she was trying to demand that they get kicked out. And then we say, no, he doesn't... that he doesn't kick out his children for her benefit, and the other way around, that his children can't stick her into a little hut to take down the costs of the estate. All right, so now Yisomim that sold the living quarters of the Almana, lo asu v'lo klum. They didn't do anything, they're unable to do that, because she has a lien on that from the ksuba, basically, that she has, since her right or entitlement is to live in these living quarters, when they sell it, they're selling something that she has a right to, and therefore they're unable to execute a transaction without her acquiescing. Maishna min de Rabbi Asi am Rabbi Yochanan. Why is this different than Rabbi Yisrael Yochanan? Namar Rabbi Yisrael Yochanan. You told him, Shikadmu Machru Menechasim Uatir Mashimachru Machru. When there is an estate that does not have sufficient property in it, they have boys and girls, and it does not have a sufficient property to feed both the boys and the girls, then what do we say? We say that the girls get the food, they get the money to feed, and then the boys are Machzer al-Ptachim. Then the boys go around and they collect or they try to raise money. So we give the benefits of the debt to the girls. But if the boys went ahead and sold it, then we say what they did was done. So how come over here, in the case by the girls and boys, the girls have the right to the property because there's not enough for both of them. And yet we say when the boys execute a transaction that the transaction stands. So why won't we say the same thing here? The widow is entitled to the property, and if they go ahead and do a transaction, why shouldn't the transaction stand? So Mar says it's a difference. Over here, by the boys and girls, the property does not belong to them while they are still alive. And the daughters only get the rights to the property after the father passes away, and then there's not enough in the estate for everybody. So therefore, when it comes down, there's no existing lien on that property. But for the widow, since it's written into her ksuba, she already has a lien, she already has a right on this property while the husband is still alive. And therefore, you're dealing with different types of ownership or rights in the property. The widow has a much greater right in the property because of this shiva, this lien that she has, Michayim. The daughters are just getting a takana derabanan that's allowing them to take the estate over the children, even though the boys really are entitled to it. Okay, Amar Abai. What happens if the house that she's going to live in falls down? They don't have to rebuild it. So if the house falls down, that's not they're not in their obligations to rebuild it. Tanya Rami Yochanan, a brace that supports that position. So when it says that you sit in my house, Bivedi, it literally means my house. As long as my house is still there. If the house falls down, we don't say to the Yoshim, rebuild the house so she can live in that house. Even if she insists that she wants to stay here and she'll rebuild the house with her own funds, ain't shon mimla. We don't listen to her. So biveiti is literally biveiti. As long as my house is still there. Once that house is no longer in existence, then she doesn't have rights. Not rights in the sense to rebuild the house, and not rights to have the Yoshim rebuild the house. So now, what happens if you have this in-between stage where the house is possibly livable but needs renovations? So here you said when it's totally destroyed, when it's a knockdown, can't do it, right? The almana doesn't have a right, and she can't insist the assumption to do it. What happens if she has to do some renovations to maintain the house? So shipsa mai. If he renovates the house in order to extend the life of the house, what's the din? I mean, can you some say no? It's this house literally, and once this house wears down its usage, then it's right, that it's done. Or do we say that she can do shiputzim? She can do fix her up. So she can do maintenance on the house so that it extends the life of the house, so that she can stay there longer. So that the Gemara says, take. All right, Amra Yevshi. All right, Belait Vula Kiyatva
Hadam. Would you think that during the lifetime, say during the husband's lifetime, if the house was in need of maintenance to prevent it from falling down,
right,
he would do it?
Right.
So you think that logically that would be into the gather of...
This last reason why it was strange to me, I even think that if it falls down, that they don't have to provide her another house.
Right.
That we take the interpretation of the ksuba very literally. That beiti means literally my house, and that house is,
That's the answer of the classic question. If you take a ship and you replace it board by board, gradually until, not a single piece is of the original ship, is that the original ship?
Right.
The answer according to this Gemara is no.
Well, the Gemara in other places says that. The Gemara says what's called panim chadash al padukah. There's a term in the Gemara, which is that, if you, at a certain point, if you replace enough of an object, right, then we say panim chadash baldukan, because that by the time it's a new face. I mean, it's a new something totally new, and it's not the old item is no longer there anymore, and so therefore becomes panim chadash. It's in Safras also. That if you draw a letter and it's a mistaken letter, then if you there's for a certain like for by tefillin, it says you have to write or your tefillin, you have to write in order. It's kesidrum. Yeah. There's a requirement that it has to be in order. All the letters have to be written in order. So if you find a mistake, you can't go in the middle and then go and erase the mistake and fix it, because then they wouldn't have been written in order. You have to rewrite from there to the end. Depends. When does it consider that you're a mistake that you're changing the letter? So if it's just a little mistake and you fix it, the tzura, the actual shape of the letter is still intact, then we don't say you're fixing it. You're just being mishaper. You're just, you know, putting up the existing letter. So then what happens if you go ahead and you extend the letter and then you erase the old part or a significant part of the old letter, then that's panim chadash ba'alukan. That there's a new letter here. If there's a new letter, then you wrote it out of order. That's where that's exactly what that case.
If two letters are too close, they're actually connected.
Well, then you have a problem with full tachlis, right? And then you're graining, whether you have a tzura or otiot, you're missing a tzura or otiot, then you might have problems with it. If you try to fix a letter but once you've made the fix, you've erased a lot of the old piece of the letter. If there's so much of the new letter, then when it says, the post says, it's panim chadash ba'alukan, and it's no longer the old letter anymore. Right. So we said before they can insist that she stays in the house to feed her. If she goes to her father's house, then they can't feed her. So the Gemara says, well, just feed her the same quantity they would give her in the house, send to her father's house. Why is it a big deal? So Misaila Rav Huna. This helps the statement of Rav Huna. Da'am Rav Huna birkat habayit biroba. All right, that the more people, the greater the birkat habayit. And what does that mean? So birkat habayit, Rashi says biroba bnei adam. She gives two answers. It's interesting, right? Rashi says, what's birkat habayit biroba? Biruba bnei adam shows vim zedzeh mistakrim. You know, that's just economies of scale. The more people in the house, more people can help each other out. So the more gets done, and you can spread the load of the house over a large number of people, both the fixed cost and the ability to more hands, right, that can help out.
That's to a certain point, though.
Right, that's true. That's true. Well, mazel, the next thing. So this is the next, the last Rashi. Mazel, the rabbi modif. It's an interesting Rashi says the mazel of more people is better. So that's the intangible factor, that the mazel of the rabbi is better. So where it says v'leit lula l'fi birkat habayit. Okay, so then if she can't quantitatively, she would have benefited more by, or the whole family would have benefited more for him being here. So just say okay. Once she leaves, what's the reduced, you know, value of mazonah she's entitled to when she's not there? So Mar says, Alkanami. That's right. Amravuna Lashon Chachamim Alkanami. Right, Amravuna, Lashon Chachamim Bracha, Lashon Chachamim Osher, Lashon Chachamim Marpeh. That the statements of the Chachamim are a bracha, they're wealth, bring wealth, and they bring cure. Bracha, hadamron. That's our Gemara here. That the Chachamim teach you that that the more people, the greater the population in the house, the more bracha there is. Osher, wealth. It's not a mocher peres lechavero. That one who sells fruits to his friend, mashach below brother, if he makes a kinyan but does not measure it, kana, then he's koneh. Madad, if he measures it below mashach, but he did not make a kinyan mishicha lo kana, then he's not koneh. If he wants to ensure that the transaction stands, sochert mekomo, he rents the location under it, and then he gets what's called a kinyan agav. If you own, you're allowed to have a kinyan on karka simply with money, or and then you can, therefore, once you have a kinyan on karka, you can agav the karka. On top of the karka, you can take any metaltalim that are on the karka. So, or you can have a kinyan chatzer, which works the same way, but if you own a piece of property and the stuff's in your property, then you could have the chatzer be kone for you. So that's the chum suggest over here. They suggest that he should be socher, rent the place on which these fruits are standing. If he rents the place for, you know, nominal son, then he automatically is kone the materials that are in there or the fruits that are on that property. So that's what it means. You know, when I first read it, I thought it was to be a fancier understanding, but the Gemara here is just saying, oh, the Chachamim give you suggestions that help you in business. I mean, that's what Osher means. It doesn't mean that saying something that's make you wealthy. It's just that, oh, you know, if they want to prevent someone from reversing a transaction, Here they're giving you a suggestion on how to do it so that you won't have the transaction reversed. Same thing with Birkas Habayis. They're suggesting if you keep more people in the house, then the bracha will be greater. And the last one is Marpeh. The Tanan lo yol osa dam chitim enecha gebe makatoba pesach. Someone should not chew. Whenever we say you loes, the Gemara is referring to a raw object that you chew. So here they're taking the wheat kernels, chewing them up into a some sort of, I don't know what the right term to make it is, some mush.
Pasty.
Pasty. And then you place it on your womb. It has some sort of healing properties. But Pesach, you can't do this on Pesach because they will later rise, meaning that the wheat kernels will then be machmitz, and they will chametz on Pesach. So derech agav, as a side benefit, you learned that what? That chewing these wheat kernels and placing them on the wound is beneficial. So that's what it means, l'shon chachamim marpeh. Through this Mishnah, as a side benefit, you understand, you know what the good cure is for wounds, is the chewing of wheat kernels. All right, Tanur Rabbanan, b'shat p'tirato shel Rebbe. So this is a gadata that is going to persist through the rest of the daf. Right, it's a famous gadata. At the time that Rebbe was dying, Amar l'manai ani tzarich, I need my children. So he's calling in. Over this the period of the daf, you're going to see him call in people and give instructions to all the people that he's calling in, and then the Gemara will take a section and explain why, or each of the items that he said and why. So the first thing he says is, I need my children. So nichtasu banav etzlo, his children came to him. Amar lahem, he gives them three instructions. One is, Amar lahem, he's haru b'chvodim chem. Make sure that you give proper kavod or take care of your mother. Ner yehe dalok bimkomo. The next instruction was that they're in my place. You should keep the candle that I normally had there. Shulchani aruch bimkomo, and the table should be set for me. And the bed should be made. My bed should be made. All of these items that were normally done when I was alive, they should continue when I'm dead. So that's the second instruction. And third is Yosef Chofni and Shimon Efrati. These two individual two talmidim, Hem Shimshuni bechayai. They served me during my lifetime. They were servicing me. Hem Shimshuni b'moti. They should take care of me in my death. So those are the three instructions he gave to his children. So now the Gemara is going to dissect these. Right, his haru bichvodim chem, that they should take care of the covet of their mother. So it says, why did he have to instruct his children this? De'oraisa hi. That's a Torah obligation, right? Dechtiv kabed et avicha ve'etimecha. Why is he instructing his sons to keep a basic mitzvah de'oraisa of kibud av ve'em? Right, it says it's eshes hav havari. It was not a mother, but rather a stepmother. So eshes av nami de'oraisa hi. A stepmother, giving a stepmother or a stepfather kavod, is also a Torah obligation. The Tanya of Avraisa, kabedet avicha ve'etimecha. The extra et comes to include eshet avicha, your stepfather, ve'etimecha zu balimecha, stepmother, and etimecha zu balimecha comes to include your stepmother. Vav Yaseira, this is one of the favorite ones. Vav Yaseira, an extra Vav, Rabba to Achicha Gadol.
It's only favorite for older siblings.
Older siblings, right? That the Vav Yaseira, the Eti Mecha, comes to teach you that older, you have to respect the older brother as well, at Achicha Gadol. So now, the Gemara qualifies, it says, Hani Mile Mechaim. This is only when they're alive. Aval Acham Yisrael, lo. But after death, no. So what do you see? What do you see from here? And the Gemara's limud is et avicha, that you have to give kavod to your father, and you could have learned et avicha means even your stepfather is included, but that's not what they include. When they include et avicha, who do they include? They include
stepmother.
So that the kavod for the stepmother is really an extension of the kavod for es avicha, meaning for your father. So it's really your father's kavod, and because of your father's kavod, you have to also provide kavod for the stepmother. So that means as long as your stepfather is, as your father is alive, then the stepmother is entitled to kavod, not because of her inherent status as the stepmother, but because of her status as the wife of the father. And the wife of the father is derech the father. It's really kavod for the father. It's an extension of the father's kavod to give kavod to the stepmother. Something, we had a similar thing by Avelus earlier in the Masechta, where if one spouse is an Avelus, that the other spouse in their presence has to display avelus, but not outside of their presence. I mean, that the avelus that they display is not because they're an avel for their in-laws, but it's an avelus to for respect for their spouse. I mean, that the avelus of their spouse that they should give respect. So it's not. It's an important distinction because it has obviously implications in both kedimus and also in this factor about that it's only an entitlement when they're alive and not when they're dead. And really, it's also a kavod through the father or through the mother, not a kavod to the directly to the stepfather or the stepmother.
And that's why Rabbi had to specify.
Oh, very good. Right. So that's in this case, it was a stepmother. And therefore, when he passes away, the obligation of the Oraisa would fall away. Because once he's dead, then they don't have to provide the kavod to the stepmother. She's instructing them to take care of her after his death. next, Nerei Daluk b'mkomo, Shulchan Yaruch b'mkomo, Mitatei Metzeta b'mkomat. That was the second instruction, that everything should be the way it was while he was still alive. My time off. What's the reasoning? Kol Bei Shimshe. Every Erev Shabbos, Rebbe used to return to his house. Even after his death. He used to return to his house every Erev Shabbos. Rashi spends time here. It's interesting. He mentions Bei Shimshi. He says that Bei Shimshi really means Bein Hashmashot, right? So he says Erev Shabbos. But it's still only, it's a specific reference to Erev Shabbos. V'nir Bein Ha'defishe Ben Hashmashot Shalosh Shagur B'fi HaKol. Right, B'fi HaKol. That Ben Hashmashot of Shabbos has a higher status or a more, it's more commonly mentioned because al kol charedim alav. Everybody's afraid of it. I mean, everybody is watching out for it. Like mor malachtan ach lo techshach, to make sure they finish all their work before it gets dark. Kari lei be shimshes. Therefore, the term ben hashmashot, which should be a generic term for every day, meaning twilight, loosely translated as twilight, then why, when we say ben shimshes, does it mean Erev Shabbos? Because Rashi says twilight is most important on Erev Shabbos, because the twilight of Erev Shabbos is a point in time where everybody's under pressure to try to get their stuff done before Shabbos. So he says, every Erev Shabbos, Rebbe used to come back and visit the family. Helbei Shemsha, there was one Erev Shabbos, Atai Shivata Kakariya Baba. There was one of the neighbors came and was calling or banging on the door, asked to come in. Amra Amte, his maidservant said, Shtuku, quiet, the Rebbe Yotiv, Rebbe sitting over here. Kevon deshama shuvata. Once they heard that, he didn't come back again. Shalom b'hotzi laz al tzaddikim arishonim. Said the it wouldn't reflect poorly on earlier tzaddikim. I mean, that why is Rebbe coming back as able after his death to return every Erev Shabbos to see his family or to spend time in his house, and the previous tzaddikim were not able to do that. It must be that he is greater than the previous tzaddikim, and he didn't want that to be that their status. They should be a pogam in their status. And therefore, after it became more widely known that Rebbe was returning, he stopped coming back.
Do you think he interacted with the family?
I don't know. Sounds like it. I don't know.
It's not us, sir.
Right. That,
the family should interact with him.
From what perspective is it us? Wait, the Gemara in Brachos talks
necromancer
about
necromancer and all that stuff. Right.
They didn't try to bring him back.
Right.
Once he's back, they're able to interact with him.
Yeah, you know, pass the salad. Mm-hmm.
Right, it's not clear from the Gemara what really transpired here. I mean, when he came back, I mean, what does that mean? Right.
Well, the maidservant seemed to be very aware that he was around. So
right. Well, his maidservant is right. His maidservant was a special woman. We're going to see later on that we see it earlier actually, in Yevamos we saw this when some of the Chachamim wanted to know what a word meant, they went a Shivchas Rebbe, would say something like Taltalim. They didn't know what the word Taltalim was, and she explained. And they went to her, they heard what she said, and they said, oh, now we know what it means. And we're going to see later on in the Gemara here, when it came to his death, that she paskened about when Rebbe should die or not. All right, so they have, she was not just, a stam maidservant, but nevertheless, you're right, she was aware of it. So it was clear that the whole household was aware of his returning. Yeah. What happened, or how he interacted, it's not, the Gemara doesn't make it clear. All right, so no. Now, these two individuals who were Yosef Chofni and Shimon Efrati, they just like they serviced me in my lifetime, they should service me in death. So, sober me now, b'hadin amahu d'kamar. They thought what it means in this world. I mean, that when he dies, they should be the ones who carry his mita. They're the ones who should carry the aron. The only problem was, came into chazad the kadim arsayu l'arsay, they passed away before him. These two chachamim passed away prior to Rebbe. So Amrish Mamino. So what did they mean? He was talking about Alam Abba. that these two Talmidei Chachamim will join him, or they will melaveh him, they will accompany him to Olam Haba. Hi, Damar Hachi. Why did he say that? Why is that? What was that? What was important about the instruction? Delo lemru milsa havai luhu. So they didn't want to say that these two Chachamim had something wrong with them. Va'ada yidna nami zechuto de Rebbe hu dehani luhu. And the reason that they were not taken was because Rebbe was alive and Rebbe protected them. So meaning that these two Chachamim were not as good as they looked, but because they were Talmidim of Rebbe, Rebbe was able to protect them. But once Rebbe dies, that's why they died also at the same time. So in order to remove such suspicions, Rebbe said about them that they will accompany him to Olam Haba, meaning that the fact that they died was not because there was anything negative about them, but rather their time had come, just like Rebbe's time had come. Okay, now Rebbe calls in. Amar lahem lechachmei Yisrael ani tzarich. Calls in the chachmei Yisrael. I should point out, Daniel, that this Rabbi Akiva Eger, there's a Rabbi Akiva Eger down below that says about that he used to return every Erev Shabbos. And he says in the Sefer Chassidim, he quotes the Gilui Nishmat Rabbi Akiva Eger brings down from the Sefer Chassidim, he says, Vayah nirah bebigdei chamudot, shelovesh b'shabbat, showed up in his Shabbos clothing, upoteret harabim bekiddush hayom, and he used to make kiddush for his family. And not like other people who are dead, shehem chofshim in mitzvot, who are potter min mitzvot. That's what we say. Meses kasher meses chofshim min mitzvot. You're no longer obligated in mitzvot. Ki tzadikim chayim, tzadikim are still alive, upotrim b'kiddush, and they're able to make kiddush for others. And he says that's from the Sefer Chassidim. So the Gilui Nishmat, the brings Rabbi Akiva Eger brings the Sefer Chassidim that Rebbe interacted with the effect that he made kiddush for the family. And he was able to be potter to them with the kiddush that he made for the family. So that would be even, you know, more interaction. I mean, whether he had a chummy conversation with them, I don't know. But he was making kiddush with them, which would be unusual because he should be potter min mitzvos. And that's what the Sefer Chassidim talks about. That tzaddikim chayim, they're really still alive, and therefore he could be potter to them.
A dead person making kiddush for people would be unusual, even aside from the potter min mitzvos. But I agree that it does add to the puzzle. Right?
You see that many times that the poskim, even though it's stories seem far fetched, that they're worried about the halachic issues. Not you see that with Tosfos and Megillah is a number of times, and I think we had it here in Ksubos a little bit. I mentioned it when we learned it here in Ksubos about Esther. And that Esther and Mordechai, whether they had a get, whether they were, she was going to mikveh between them. And Tosfos asks a strange question. You know, he goes that Esther was living both with Mordechai and Achashverosh, and that she would go to the mikveh and switch back and forth. So Tosfos asks a question. I mean, oh, what about Havchana? You're not allowed to switch between husbands. You need a 3-month gap because otherwise you won't know who the baby is born to. Right? So Shemesh B'moch is the answer. That's Tosfos' answer. You see, Tosfos is asking on what would be. I mean, forget about the Havchana issue that she went to the mikveh and she was living with Mordechai and the Chashverosh. That to him was that's a given. The Gemara said it. All right, so now let's deal with the halachic issues that it had. So now that's what the Gemara answers. Shemesh B'moch. And he asks the same thing by Ksuba. Why didn't he give her a get? Tosfos asks the question. Why didn't Mordechai just give her a get and therefore she would not be. When she later on goes to Achashverosh willingly, she then becomes usher to Mordechai. So Tosfos says, why don't you give her a get? He says, oh, because a get needs edim, and that'll have a farhesia, and it'll become. So you see, Tosfos is dealing solely with the halachic issues of what is a unbelievably strange case to start with. So same thing here. Same with Hasidim. He's not questioning the fact that Rebbe showed up and that he was making kiddush. What's the halachic issue that we have to deal with here? I say that many times in the Mefarshim. All right. So Amar lahem, Chachmei Yisrael ani tzarich. I need the Chachmei Yisrael to show up here. Nichnesu, it's no Chachmei Yisrael. The Chachmei Yisrael came and joined him. So Amar lahem, so now again, he's going to give a number of instructions to them. He's going to give them three instructions, right? Amar lahem, al tifs tiduni b'ayrot. Do not give me a hesped in the cities. Vehoshivu yeshiva l'achar shloshim yom. Start learning after 30 days. After 30 days, you guys got to start up the yeshiva again. And Shimon b'ni chacham, Shimon my son is the chacham. Gamliel b'ni nasir, he'll become the av beis din. Gamaliel b'ni nasi, my son Gamaliel will be the nasi, right? Which is where we get the nasiim of Rabbi Gamaliel, Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel, Rabbi Gamaliel, again a number of times. All right, Chanina bar Chama yoshev barosh, and Chanina bar Chama will be the rosh yeshiva. Now this Gemara is going to again go back now dissect each one of these commands. Altif steduni berarot, do not give me a eulogy in the city. Saber mina mishum tirchalu. He didn't want to bother all the kfarim, the small villages. So because if he went to the city, all the small villages nearby would come and have to give up their work. So Kamar gave it to Chazi Afsadeh Bechachim. In the end, when they saw that they didn't just eulogize him when he meant not in the city, they went to the metropolises, right? They went to the large cities, the Kachim. Ve'ka'atu kuli yalman erikain amru shmim namishum yakaru the Kamar. Or Yakaru the Kamar. He said it because of the kavod. I would say not his kavod atzmo, his own kavod, but kavod atorah. And the kavod atzadikim that everybody showed up. So he told them, don't do it in the smaller cities, do it in the big cities so that everybody would come, not just simply the people in those locations. Hoshiva yeshiva lachar shloshim yom says, put back, start learning again after 30 days. Do adifa mi Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm no better than Moshe Rabbeinu. Dichtiv vayivchu b'nei Yisrael Moshe parvot Moav shloshim yom. That's 30 days that they gave eulogies for, or they were boche, or they were avelus for 30 days. After 30 days, they went back to the regular yeshiva, the regular learning. So, tzlatin yom, saftin b'yomamo, v'leila aliyah. For 30 days, they had the eulogies, they were mat abel for day and night, meaning that it was a full-time avelus for Rebbe. Saftu b'yomamo, v'garsi b'leila aliyah, o saftu b'leila aliyah, v'garsi b'yomamo. They half a day, they were eulogizing or upset over his petira. The other half a day, they would learn. Ad safti treso yarchishat, until they completed a full year. Right, so you're seeing some forms of, just in general, bavelus, meaning that not from this is where you say 30 days, 12 months. These are all periods of time that we know from avelus in general, where you have diminishing forms of avelus through these periods of time, from Shiva to Shloshim to Shtemisra Chodesh. How Yomad Ash Kavtei de Rebbe. So on the day that Rebbe passed away, I don't know if it's Ashkavte, you could read here in the Gemara, you could read Ashkavte that he passed, literally the day he passed away, or his Yortzeit. I mean, the question, the Gemara, and from a logical standpoint, the Gemara went through Shloshim Yom, then Shtemisrei Chodesh, and then, but Yom Ashkavte Rebbe, the day of his Yortzeit. But from the Gemara further on, it seems to be that it was actually his day of death, that the day he died. Nafka Baskalav Amra, a Baskal went out. Amar Chol Dehavad Ashkavte, the Rebbe, whoever was at the death of Rebbe, who was ever at the passing of Rebbe, Mezuman Hu L'Chayelam Abba, would go to the Olam Abba, whoever was there when Rebbe passed away. Ho Kovis, Kol Yom Haba'ate Kamei, every day he used to come, this launderer, every day he used to come and visit with Rebbe. Ho Yom Alo'ato, then one day he didn't show up. So, gave him the Shama, when he heard the Bakal, it was devastating. His whole life he goes to see Rebbe. And then the day of his death, he didn't go to see Rebbe. Rebbe passes away that day, and they say anybody who was there with Rebbe was then what? He goes to Olam Haba. This guy thinks, oh my gosh, the one day I didn't go, right? He loses out. So it was distraught, devastated. Come to the Shama of his Solik Hachi, Solik Ligra. He went up to the roof, and Nafal Aaron fell down to the ground. So Gemara uses this term in different places. One is suicide, right? We see that in other places by people who commit suicide. They go up to the roof and they throw themselves off the roof, and that's the, you know, suicide. They kill themselves. The other possibility is the Salik Ligra and Nafal Arrow is that they went up on the roof and then they fell, either from being distraught, right? They fell down. Not that it was an intentional suicide, but they fell down, or that either the roof collapsed and then they fell in on the roof, meaning that it wasn't necessarily self-imposed, but something that transpired right after that. Umit, and then he died. Yatz the batkol v'amraf hu avkoveis mezuman l'chayelam abba. And then another batkol went out and said, don't worry, this laundry man also heading to Olam Abba. So again, now again, another kind of case. Tosos asks, or you have here, and just look at the Tosos, yes, about these things. Umperish t'gmar t'ema, v'alo kol yishol yishlam chedek Olam Abba. What do you need a batkol to come out and say that he's entitled to Olam Abba? Don't we have a Mishnah novels, right? We say, that they quote there, right? That every Jew has a chelik lam haba. What do we need a batskol to come out and say that? So, perish a rav mayor kol hecha damar mezuman the chelik lam haba, hainu below din or below yisurin. Right? Whenever we say the Gemara uses the term Zuman L'chaim Al Haba, he's ready for Olam Haba, means that he goes directly. It's a straight, right? Do not pass go, straight into Olam Haba without any Yisurim or Din. It means that's an automatic entry. Shimon b'nei Chacham, my Kamar. What is he saying that?
He brings in the Maral up here, says that the term Chodesh, that he wasn't actually a laundryman, but it's an illusion spiritually that he was someone who's becoming a Baal Tshuva. Chodesh in the sense of cleansing his neshama, and that's why his distress was so great, because here he had an opportunity to really, you know, culminate his Tshuva, and he missed it.
Very nice. Shimon b'nei Chacham, my kamar. What is he saying? Hachi kamar. Afa pishe Shimon b'nei Chacham. Now, so what is the point of saying that Shimon, his son, is the be the Talmud Chacham of the Abbeis? You know, means this. Even though my son Shimon is the Talmud Chacham, Gamliel b'nei Nasi. Nevertheless, my Gamliel, my son, should be the Nasi. Or it says, Amar Levi Tzrich LeMeimar? I mean, what do you have to tell us for? I mean, what's the, what was the point of him telling us that Gamliel will be the Nasi? Rabbi Gamliel was the oldest son. And we know that what? That the oldest son automatically inherits the father's place, I mean, takes over for the father's authority. So Levi came along and says, you know, after they say, why did Rebbe say this? Rebbe pipes up and says, "Tzrich leMeimar." Rebbe had to tell us such a thing. So I'm Rebbe Shimon by Rebbe. So Rebbe Shimon said back to Levi, "Tzrich lach ulamit atach." We don't need you or your limp. You know that Levi is famous story with Levi that he was doing a kida, between that famous type of push up in front of Chachamim on Sukkot, on the Sukkot space of Shoeva, Nitla, and then he became lame. He hurt himself badly, and the Gemara asks, why did he hurt himself? The Gemara says that because he was doing this a dangerous maneuver, and the other one says that it was because he was in the Gemara, and Tana says it's because he was Heticha, right, Kalfe Makom, that he spoke improperly towards Hashem. When they were asking for rain, he spoke improperly to Hashem. So Gemara says, well, which one is it? So Gemara says, Habha Garmla, that both of them caused it. That because he was Heticha Kalpe Malkum, that since he had done something inappropriate, when he put himself in Sakana, that's when it took effect on him. So here, Rabbi Shimon, the same thing. Rabbi Shimon said, we don't need you and your limp, referring to the fact that Levi at one point in his life had spoken inappropriately. So Rabbi Shimon over here is thinking that Levi's doing the same thing again, that he's speaking about Rebbe inappropriately, meaning that, what does Rebbe have to tell us such a thing? And that maybe he was coming back to his old ways. So my kashule, what was the problem that Levi had? What was his issue? Hakrakamar. I mean, my kashule, what was Rabbi Shimon's problem with Levi? He's right. Levi's right because the pasuk says, "Veta mamlecha natan liyoram ki hu abachor," that he gave over the malucha to his son Yehoram because Yehoram was the eldest child. So what? It's true. Levi's right. We have a mefurash pasuk that the bachor gets the malchus. How? No, that's only when the son will fill in his father's shoes, meaning that he's the most appropriate continuer of his father's dynasty, then the Bechor is the chosen one. Otherwise, it'll go to the other child who's more appropriate. So, and Rabbi Gamliel was not filling in the shoes of his Rebbe, his father, and that's what he means. Even though Shimon, my son, is the Chacham, nevertheless, Rabbi Gamliel the Bechor should get the Nisius. Rabbi, my time over. Well, if that's the case, then Shimon should have been the Nasi. So why did Rabbi do that and put Rabbi Gamliel in? Nehid, Eino Mamali Makamatov B'Chochma. Fine, he wasn't able to replace his father in a Chochma. B'Yirat Chet, Mamali Kamavotavu. But nevertheless, in Yirat Chet, he was able to fill in for his father, able to fill in for his father's shoes. He had this many times with the tremendous individuals who were able to do amazing things that their children many times, or even their students, are unable to replicate their exact personality or their exact strengths, but their students are able to capture some of their strengths, not all of their strengths. So many times they'll have after a tremendous teacher, a tremendous father passes away, that some of the children have some of the tzchunot that their father had, and they're able to fill in pieces, but you don't have one individual that replaces it. I had this, I say, by Yosef. Yosef has two children, he has Menashe and he has Ephraim. Yosef had this unbelievable ability to maybe mishalev, to connect or to incorporate both the ruling over Egypt and also the chokhmah, on the spiritual side, the ruchani side, because he had come from the house of Yaakov. And I mean that it's unique to his upbringing and his experiences that he was both able to be a ruler over Egypt, but also maintain his spiritual strength and his learning from the Shiva. But you see with his sons, that his sons have each of those tchunot. Menashe has the tchuna of the leadership and the malchus, and Ephraim has the spiritual leadership. And that's why later on, when Yosef gives the bracha, he is ma'adif Ephraim over Menashe. But you see, I just pointed out that the Medrash, in many places when the, in the Medrash talks about who is being Meshamish, Yosef, it says there was a Nar, or he says to his Eved, or he says, spoke to someone, and the Medrash says it was Menashe, or the Medrash says it Ephraim. And if you look, that wherever it's a Shimus or a Sherut to Yosef about working for him, doing rulership stuff, it's Menashe. So in the previous Parshiot, when they send out, remember it says that they send out the person Ish to chase after the brothers. Says they chase after the brothers and get the Gvia. Who does the Medrash says there? It was Menashe. But later on, when it says that someone comes to tell him that his father, Bnei Chole Yaakov Avi, that his father is sick and is dying, that he wants to speak to him, it says over there, what does the Medrash say? It was Ephraim who's coming back, because Ephraim was the one by Yaakov. So you see that in general, that when a great person, even though Yosef was able to incorporate both of those tchunot, of those special traits, nevertheless, when it came to his children, you see that they both weren't able to do it, and they didn't have his experience, and therefore they split up. Same thing here with Rebbe. Rebbe was able to combine Yirat Chet, Chachma, leadership. He had that unique ability. When it came to his children, that didn't end up. One of them had the Yirat Chet, one of them had the Chachma. They didn't incorporate. They didn't have that greatness that Rebbe once had. All right. Chanina Bachama Yeshe Barosh. He made Chanina Bachama the Rosh Yeshiva. So why did he make Chanina Bachama the Rosh Yeshiva? Loki Bell, he didn't accept it. Loki Bell Rabbi Chanina. He didn't accept the Rosh Yeshiva, the post of Rosh Yeshiva. Shaya Rabbi Ephes Godul Mimenu Shtei Shanim Umechza. Because Rabbi Ephes was 2.5 years older than him, and he wanted Rabbi Ephes to be the Rosh Yeshiva. Yotiv Rabbi Ephes Bereisha, so Rabbi Ephes became the, or Afas, I don't know how to pronounce it, Rabbi Ephes became the,
Afes,
yeah, Ephes doesn't sound good, Rabbi Ephes, Rabbi Afes, right, with the, became the Rosh Yeshiva. Yotiv Rabbi Chanina Evrai, and Rabbi Chanina sat outside the base medrash, because he felt it was inappropriate for him to be in the base medrash, because he's not kafuf to Rabbi Ephes. Since he was as good, great as Rabbi Ephes, it was just a matter of age, or even greater. Therefore, he sat outside the base medrash because he wouldn't accept the authority of Rabbi Ephes. So he didn't want to ruin Rabbi Ephes' position. So he sat outside the base medrash. Va'ata Levi v'yotiv gabei, and Levi used to be his chavrusa outside. Nachnav shed Rabbi Ephes, and Rabbi Ephes passed away. V'yotiv Rabbi Chanina breish, and then Rabbi Chanina became the Rosh Yeshiva. Va'ata Levi inish the mitiv gabei. And they didn't have, Levi didn't have anybody to learn with anymore. And that's when Levi went from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Behind it, Amri Le Rav, right, that's when they said to Rav, Gabaraba Iklan in Narda, Umitla. This is great guy who just showed up, this big Gabaraba showed up in Narda, that's in Bavel, wherever Rav was, Umatla, and he's limping, right, that's Levi, and he showed up there. Vedarish Klilo Shari, and he is paskining that to go out with a klila on Shabbos is mutter. It's not considered carrying. So Rashi brings down, it's a case of on Shabbos about caring about a woman who wears something, a klila, and a klila was some sort of fancy adornment for a woman who was wealthy. So Levi believed that only wealthy women wore it, and therefore you didn't have to worry about a wealthy woman taking it off to show her friends and stuff, because if it's a poor woman, then if she wears such an item, then she would take it off, she'd be excited to show her friends. But since klila was something unique only to wealthy people, they were the only ones who could have it, they are not in the custom or accustomed to taking off their clothing to show it when they got excited about wealth, because they were wealthy, and therefore they could wear it on Shabbos. So Amar Shmamino, Rav says, Nach Nafshei de Rabbi Ephes. Rasiv Rabbi Chanina Bereisha. Must be that Rabbi Ephes passed away, and Rabbi Chanina is now the Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Levi Inish Lamei Tev Gabei. So that he didn't have anybody to learn with. V'ka'ata, Right? And he showed up in Bavel. So that's Rav's conclusion from seeing Levi in Bavel was that his chavrusa was now the Rosh Yeshiva, and that's why he came to Bavel to learn with somebody. Rabbi Chanina, Nach Nafshei. Why doesn't he say that his chavrusa passed away? Why did he say that his chavrusa became the Rosh Yeshiva? Why not say that Rabbi Chanina passed away? Rabbi Asif, Rabbi Afis, Kediyotiv Yotiv. And that, well, that Rabbi Afis is still the Rosh Yeshiva. That Levi didn't have the ability to learn with anybody. And that's why he came to Bavel. So why does his conclusion that Rabbi Afis had passed away, it could have equally been that Rabbi Chanina passed away. That if it was simply Rabbi Afis was still alive, Levi was... would be subjected to the power of Rabbi Afis. It was only because he was with Rabbi Chanina that he didn't go into the base medrash. But if Rabbi Chanina passed away, Levi into the base medrash. He would have entered the base medrash again. He would have come to Bavel. Since Rabbi gave a tzivui that Rabbi Chanina would become the Rosh Yeshiva, losagid lo malach. It would be impossible that he never got fulfilled and he was not Rosh Yeshiva. If he spoke, it wouldn't happen no matter what. Right there, they state and it happens.
That's how Chanina declined to take the position himself to be with it. Like, otherwise, why would he disobey the Tzava of Rebbe? But maybe he somehow understood that it didn't have to be immediately that he would get to sit in that role either way.
All right. Well, we have this other chacham of the Rava called the Gemara and Brachos called Dochik Tashasha Dochoko. Anybody who pushes time, the time pushes him. And Kolsheno Dochik Tashasha, he waits for his time. Then in a Shara Dochoko, then it'll be okay. And that was Gemara talks about that. I think it was Rava there waited 22 years to become the Rosh Yeshiva because he let someone else, even though he was entitled to it, let someone else become Rosh Yeshiva because it was that once he became Rosh Yeshiva, would pass away. So he's able to lead 22 years more because he didn't press his luck to become Rosh Yeshiva earlier, and therefore he lived 22 years longer. So the same type of idea there that he postponed. You know, he wasn't in a rush to become Rosh Yeshiva. He knew it would happen, and that he didn't push
it. Chafetz Chaim didn't get smicha until he was in his 90s or something like that. He needed to take some kind of papers or...
Right, that's from Russia. He didn't want to lie about that to say that he was a Rav, so then he finally got smicha from Chaim Moses that he could write in his papers. I don't know how old he was, right? That's a famous story. Right, Va'ava Rabbi Chiya. Why did they make Rabbi Chanina the Rosh Yeshiva? What about Rabbi Chiya? Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Oshia were two major Talmidim of Rabbi. So why did they make Rabbi Chiya the Rosh Yeshiva? So it says, Nach Nafshei, he had already passed away. I mean, he passed away. Now we have all these. The Gemara is going to go through a list of brachos where Rabbi Chiya seems to be talking about Rabbi after Rabbi's death. Rabbi Chiya niriti b'kivros shel Rabbi. I saw the kever. Rashi says aron, the aron of Rabbi. Bo rati alav d'maot, and I cried, I wept over his kever. Rashi says ipuch. No, switch it around. That was Rabbi talking about Rabbi Chiya. All right. Rabbi Chiya oto yom shemet Rabbi butla kedusha. The day that Rabbi died, kedusha left the world. So again, the Gemara says ipuch. Change it around. No, that's what Rabbi said about Rabbi Chiya. Va'atanya, don't we have a braiso? It's funny because the braiso is Masudar Adei, Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Oshia. Right. I say that it's Rabbi Chiya's braiso. Flip around his braiso. Right, Va'atanya, kishachala Rabbi, nichnas Rabbi Chiya itzlo. When Rabbi was sick, Rabbi Chiya came to him. Umatzo shu boche. And he found him crying. Amar lo Rabbi, v'nei ma'ata boche, why are you crying? Va'atanya, don't we have a braiso? Meis betochas chok, siman yofalo. If you're laughing, you're happy when a person passes away, it's a good sign. Tocha b'chi, siman rolo. If you're crying when one dies, that's a bad sign for him. Pun of the mala, siman yofalo. If you're facing upward when he passes away, that's a good sign. Pun of the mata, siman rolo. It's a bad sign, meaning that's the direction you're going. Pun of kofayam, siman yofalo. If you're facing the people, then it's a good sign. If you're facing the wall, siman rolo, meaning that the question of embarrassment being versus being proud, right? That's again, these are all simanim that the neshama is going to the right place. So they're looking at the body's positioning and temperament as signs of where the neshama is heading at that point in time. Pana birokim siman rolo, if his face is greenish or yellowish, meaning that is considered a siman ro. Because then he's either embarrassed by the people that he's coming to greet him. If his face is radiant and bright, that's a good siman, because that means that he's going up, people are going to greet him, and he feels good about it. Meisber Erev Shabbos is Siman Yofelo. If he goes, passes away on Erev Shabbos, it's a good Siman because he goes right to Menucha, into the Menucha of Shabbos right away. It's Yofelo. But most of Shabbos is Siman Lerolo. It's right after Shabbos, it's bad because it's right after the Menucha that they had, so that he goes.
He's got a full week.
Meisber Erev Yom Kippurim Siman Lerolo. If he passes away on Erev Yom Kippur, that's a Siman Ra. They didn't let him have Yom Kippur to have Mechilas Avanos. Motzei Yom Kippurim Siman Yofelo. It's Motzei Yom Kippurim, that's a Siman Yofel because he got his Mechilas Avanos and then he passed away. Meis Michol Me'ayim Siman Yofel. If he passed away from a stomach ailment, it's a good Siman. Pesh Ruvam Shel Tzadikim Mitatam Michol Me'ayim. That the Rov Tzadikim pass away from a stomach ailment. Amalei, so he's questioning Rebbe crying here on his deathbed. Rebbe Chia. So Amalei, Ana Torah Mitzvos Kavachina. Rebbe says, I'm not crying about myself. I'm crying about the Torah Mitzvos that are going to be, I'm going to lose, or either I'm going to lose and not going to be able to do anymore, or that will be lost with my death. Meaning that since he's the leader, and it will be lost in those cases. So again, what's the nice solution? Either flip it around again. Don't understand. Rabchia was a big mitzvah guy, and therefore Rebbe Sefer Lo Afkarei, he was not comfortable with bothering him from his doing his work that he was doing the tzachei at Tzibur, and he felt that if he made him the Rosh Yeshiva, then he would desist from helping at the Tzibur doing the mitzvos, and then he didn't feel comfortable with that. Behind Dichava Minsu, Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Chia, when they used to argue, they used to make a point of why they should listen to each other. So Amalei Rabbi Chanina, the Rabbi Chia, Bahadi Didi Minsas, you're arguing with me? Dimchas Vashom, Nishkacha Torah Mishrael, Mahadron Alei Me Pupule, had Chas Vashom, all the Torah was forgotten from Eretz Klal Yisrael, I could bring it back from my strength of Pupul, right? I could bring it all back. How could you be arguing with me with such strength in Pupul? You think you have a solution? You say, if Torah is forgotten from Yisrael, I can bring it back. You know what I do? I make sure Torah never is forgotten from Yisrael. Da'itina kitna, I bring flax or seeds, plant them, shaydi'ayna u'migdalano, I plant them, and then I take them, and nishbe, and then I, from the flax that I grow, I take the linen, I make them into nets, and then I capture tzvi, deer. I feed the yisomim, the meat, the venison, right? The tavio. I take the skin of the tzvi and I make it into cloth. And I go to a city where there's no teachers. And I write a Torah for five children. And I teach the sister of Sidra and Mishnah to six children. One Sidra of Mishnah to each child. Right? The Chol Chad V'Chad. Then I tell each child to teach it to their friend. How great are the works of Rabbi Chia? So you see that in two things from this. One is Rabbi Chia was also doing mitzvot. He was going around doing all these tremendous mitzvot. So Rabbi didn't want to stop him in his Avodas HaKodesh, to make him Rosh Yeshiva, he'd have to stay home then, right? That's always the famous line, that when you talk to anybody who's a Rosh Yeshiva, that before I was Rosh Yeshiva, I used to learn a lot, and then I became Rosh Yeshiva, I don't learn anymore, and they call me, now I'm the Rosh Yeshiva, right? Same thing here, if you made him Rosh Yeshiva, he has to deal with a lot of stuff that would not allow him to be Osuk in the mitzvot that he wanted to be Osuk in. And therefore, that was why he didn't want to make him Rosh Yeshiva. Number two, you see why he says, how great Rabbi Chia was in his Asikas HaMitzvot, that he wanted to give over the Torah Vitaro from beginning to end, that he was the one who was Osek in giving over the Torah. He built, he made the cloth, he made the food, he did everything for the Yisomim so that they would have the Torah and not be Nishkachach Mi'Yisrael, meaning that he was better than Rabbi Chanina, he says. I make sure that it never will be forgotten because I teach all this Torah to these kids. Alright. Amalei Rabbi Shimon bar Rebbe, Afilu Mimech. So Rabbi Shimon said to his father, Rebbe, is Rabbi Chia even greater than you? Samalei in, yes. He is greater than me in my his Meisim. So the question of whether he meant it literally or he just wanted to uphold Rabbi Chia. Right? Amalei Rabbi Shimon bar Rabbi Yossi, Afilu Mi'abo. So Rabbi Shimon bar Rabbi Yossi says, about even my father, Rabbi Yossi, is greater than Rabbi Yossi Achasid, right? Samalei Chas V'Shalom, let's take his Ope Yisrael. Nobody will ever be greater than your father. So Amalehan, I need my youngest son. Nechnas Rabbi Shimon etzlo. So Rabbi Shimon shows up to him. Masalo sidre chachma. Gave over to him the chachma. He's the chacham. So give him the chachma. What that means? I don't know if that means like the secrets of Torah possibly, right? The Maaseh Merkava, the Sodas HaTorah. I need my oldest son. Nechnas Rabbi Gamliel. So Maser lo sidrei nisiyos. He taught him how to be a nosi. Amar lo, how does he do this? B'ni nohag nisiyot chaberamim. You should run your nisiyos with a iron fist. Right? Zrok mara batalmidim and throw fear into the talmidim. Ini, is that really true? Is that how you conduct yourself? Aktiv et yirei Hashem yichabeit. Right? Those that are yirei Hashem, you should give kavod to. V'amamar zei Yoshafat melech Yehuda. This is Yoshafat, the king of Yehuda. Shayaroa talmid chacham ayam umeid mikiso. So as Talmud Chacham is the king. He used to jump up from his seat to Mechab Komanashka, give him a hug, give him a kiss. V'korilo Rebbe, Rebbe, Mori, Mori. So you see that Yoshafat, who's the king of Israel, gives tremendous respect to the Talmud Chacham. So how could it be that here, Gamliel, the Nosi, is supposed to be strike fear in the Talmidim? So Gemara says, Tanya, Rabbi said, Lokash ha-betzina ha-bifarhesya. That is, whether it's in public or in private, meaning that privately, you have to give tremendous kavod to somebody, they should feel a sense of connection with you. But in public, you have to be no ignisius. You have to show them what's the proper way, who you have to give respect to, and how the nasi should act. It's very important, right? Important lesson about just in both in leadership and in parenting, right? That you have to show both the love and the right and the iron fist. That we always say, right? Mekarev dochek b'smol, mekarev b'yomin. That you push away with the left hand and take in with the right hand, because they have to know that you're looking out for their interests and that you have a personal connection with them, with the Talmidim. But nevertheless, they also have to know that you're the Nasi and that they have to act in a certain way that's befitting. Tanya, so just this last line here. Rabbi Mutal b'tziporim mokom muchan lo b'beit she'arim. Rabbi was in Tzipori and his place was ready for him in Beit She'arim, Beit She'an, Beit She'arim, that they have today where Kever Rabbi is in Beit She'arim, right? V'atanya, tzedek tzedek tirdof. If you want to run after tzedek, halacha charevi, the Beit She'arim. Sounds like what? That Rebbe was in Beit She'arim. So why does it say he was in Tzipori if he was in Beit She'arim? So Rebbe, the Gemara says, Beit She'arim habo. He was. That's where he lived. He lived in Beit She'arim. Ella came into Chalosh. When he got sick, amtiu l'tzipori. They took him to Tzipori. Demadla ubosim avira. It's a high place. And the air was fresher. The air was a better quality air there. So they took him there when he got sick, so that he would benefit from the better air. All right, we'll stop here. We'll stop here. There's a lot more to go, but we'll stop. Let's continue tomorrow.